All right, so we've been in this series called Fresh Air, and Fresh Air, the way we're kind of defining it, it's like this intangible force that gives you life again, this intangible something that when you experience that, it gives you a little wind in your sails, it gets you moving in the right direction again, it gives you some calm in the middle of the storms, it gives you some perspective, it just gives you some life, and we need that, and we talked about that in week one from the perspective of like sailing kind of sort of, that there are times out there where a sailboat is just stuck and there's no wind and they can't move, and they call it the doldrums. They're just kind of bobbing around out there and nothing's happening, and sometimes we feel like that in life. Maybe there's a lot of activity, which we're going to talk about today, but nothing's really happening. We're not really moving anywhere, we don't feel like. Maybe if anything, we're moving in the wrong direction sometimes. And so sometimes we have that. And then the other extreme we talked about is sometimes it's the opposite. I mean, it's like there's too much happening. Life is just a storm, and we just need some calm. We need to just take a deep breath and just calm down. It's like, okay, God, life is way out of whack here. I have to get things kind of back to a place where I have some sanity, which is that's not going to happen for me, but anyway, just try to get a little bit more of that. So we've talked about that a little bit, and how do we experience this fresh air from God? How do we be fresh? How can we be that for other people? You know, because a lot of times, it's people who rob us of that more than anything else, I think. So we talked about that last Sunday a little bit about relationally, just how can we be people who bring fresh air to other people's lives? How can we be people who lighten other people's loads and are a blessing to others, are life-giving in what we do and what we bring to the relationships that we're blessed to be in. So we talked about that a little bit also. Today I want to talk about a part of this that really is, I think, is the biggest one for us as far as what drains the joy out of our lives, what makes life feel like, man, the opposite of fresh air or life-giving, makes it feel like life is just overwhelming sometimes. And that's just the pace of life that we tend to live at. John Eldridge talks about the pace that we live in and the busyness of life today in America. He calls that the spirit of this age, that if there's a defining spirit of this age, if there's something that absolutely is just kind of killing off people's hearts and robbing people of the joy and the life that God wanted us to live in, it's just we're so consumed with busyness and the pace of life is so incredibly hectic. So we're going to dive into that just a little bit. Our theme verse for this series comes from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Where Moses is laying out God's way of living in front of the people, and he just lays it out there and say, hey, God says this is how we're supposed to live, and if we live, some good things happen. If we don't live this way, some bad things happen. He says, but basically, God's not going to force that on you. You get to choose. So you get to choose what the outcomes are going to be. And this is how he says it, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. He says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. So life is not something that just happens. Life worth living is not something that just happens. A blessed life, you know, a fresh air defined life is not something that just happens. God wants that for you. Jesus again said, as we talked about this also, that I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And really, it's your decisions, you know, that determine which way that goes as far as how much life you experience, how much blessing you experience, how much of the curses you experience, and kind of how much death you experience. He says, I lay before you life and death. Now choose life. So life really is just a series of choices if you think about it. In fact, you're where you are in life today for the most part because of a series of choices you made along the way. And there are certain things you say, well, they did this and they did that, and I get that, I understand that. We all have some things like that in our story. But for the most part, you're where you are today because of the decisions you've made along the way. In fact, you know that because if I were to ask you, you know, if you could go back and get a redo on two or three things, what would they be? You really don't have to think very long about that, do you? You know, and so you can figure out what those things are. So there are these decisions that we make along the way that lead us to life or blessing and or the opposite of that. And that's what we've been talking about. How do we make choices that lead us to life, that lead us to a good place? So let's talk about this pace of life deal. And how many of you are too busy, like a lot of the time? Just be honest, you are. You weren't too busy to get to church today. That was a good thing. Okay, I understand. That's a good call. That's a good choice, a good decision, right? But yeah, life is just crazy busy, you know? I was thinking about that, you know, if you have more like dirty clothes and you have clean clothes in your closet. You're too busy. Or if you have, for some of you, and this is some of you because I've seen your cars out there, some of you have more dirty clothes and clothes in your car than you have like in your closet, you know. And for my kids, sometimes it'd be like, you have more clothes on your floor than you have in the, you clean up your room, you know. And so get to work, you know. So we can get like that. Life can get really crazy. You know, if you tell your kids it's time to eat and they all go get in the car, then that means life is too busy, okay? So, you know, hey, by the way, I just have to brag on Sharon. Sharon will tell you that she's not a cook, but she made a homemade etouffee. I'm not talking no mushroom soup, no Campbell's, no can, nothing in it. Homemade roux, which I didn't even know she could pull that one off. She's like literally reading it on her phone and like making a homemade for Father's Day. It was unbelievable. It was so good, Sharon. Good job. Great job, girl. Good job. So Sharon will tell you that her favorite meal to prepare is from Wendy's. And so we have a Wendy's run 2 to 3 times a week, depending on how busy the week is. So Wendy's has good salads and 99-cent little burgers and chicken sandwiches and all that good stuff. So we get it. Our life gets very, very hectic sometimes just as well. And so the title of the day's message today is Just Breathe. You know, how do we get back to a pace of life where we just take a deep breath and like, ah, I can sustain this for a lifetime. And I understand there are seasons where, you know, you've got to press in, you've got to go hard. There's nothing you can do. I mean, it's just life is, you know, you're caring for someone like we are with my mother-in-law and or you have a newborn or you have a brand new job or you're launching a business or some new venture of some kind. I get there are seasons in life where it's absolutely going to be fast-paced, breakneck pace, and it's just exhausting. But what I found is we tend to not have that as a season anymore. It's kind of like baseball season has come, you know, become for kids. It's like a year round. They're playing baseball. And the first time I heard of fall ball, I'm like, what is that? You know, it's like the first time I heard of bottled water. Like, why would you do that? You know, but now we all do it. You know, but it's like this deal where we just have gotten so crazy with the breakneck pace of life where it's not like they're just like these little seasons of life where, okay, this is really going to be intense. We're building a house and we've got to sell the old house. It's going to be intense. We tend to have a lifestyle of that. It is who we are. We just live that way 24/7. And boy, I tell you, the more we do that, the more destructive it is to our peace, the less fresh air we live in. And so we're going to talk about that and just how do we get away from that when fast-paced living becomes your way of living. What does that do inside of us? So here are a few things that happen. You probably have seen this in your own life. When fast-paced living becomes your way of living, one, you're more vulnerable to temptation. You're more vulnerable to temptation. You're more likely to fall into sin. You're less discerning. You're less aware of the traps and the temptations that the enemy is setting out before us. In fact, you may not even be praying in the morning, God, you know, I submit my will, my rights, and all control to you. God, you know, today, I want your kingdom come and your will to be done. And God, I don't want to dive in any of those temptations or traps. You know, give me a way to escape that evil today. We don't even take the time to even process the day or even commit the day or consecrate the day to God so often. And so it's just very easy in that rushed, tired pace of life, that stressed pace of life, for the enemy to come in that weak kind of existence that we're in, and tempt us and set us up and cause us to fail. He's probably not going to do that when you come off of a faith walk weekend. He's probably not going to do that as you're leaving church after you've met with God here, you know, or you've just come off a vacation, you're feeling really great and you're rested. He tends to wait until we're vulnerable. He tends to wait until we are worn down spiritually. And then that's when he sets those traps for us. So that fast pace of life really does set us up for temptation. Proverbs 19:2, the second part of that verse says, he who hurries with his feet rushes into sin. And I can relate to that. It's like, I got so busy, and I used to say I was too busy to sin. But I realized it's just the opposite. The busier I get, the more likely I am to fall into sin. The less discerning I am of how the enemy's tempting me. The less aware I am of the traps he's putting in front of me. And so I can much more easily walk into those. Does that make sense? So we're much more likely to sin, I believe, when we get exhausted and just get wiped out in life. So when fast-paced living becomes your way of living, you're more vulnerable to temptation. You're also, you'll see this in your life, that your emotions take a hit. You're much more likely to be angry, for example, if you're stressed and running really fast. You know, if I'm going down Highway 171 and everybody's driving crazy, and or if it's just backed up, or I go through Westlake and like 20 trains in a row go through for whatever reason, if I don't have to be somewhere, I really don't care that much, you know. I can just sit there and wait on the train and check some text messages, some emails, whatever. If I need to be somewhere, or if I'm late to be somewhere, the emotions begin to change in me. That stress converts to anger, right? And all of a sudden, I'm feeling these emotions like, that's not very like Christ-like. I'm like, no, I'm ready to cast some stuff out of the temple or whatever. And, get the whip. And that's not from God. And so my emotions get out of whack. Or the other side, maybe not so much anger, but I know when I get tired and get exhausted, I'm much easier. I'm much closer, I think, to depression, and just kind of, just I don't care anymore. You know, it's not that I don't love my kids or not concerned about what they're going on. It's just what's going on in their life. It's just there's just not a lot of emotional energy in me to put into that, or church stuff, or ministry stuff, or whatever. It's just like, you know, I'd like to care. I really would. I know I should care, but I don't care. I need a nap. You know, like Garfield. I used to go lay down somewhere. You only know who Garfield is. Some of you young ones. So anyway, and I'm not talking about President Garfield. I'm not that old. I'm talking about the cat Garfield. Okay, just so you know. Okay, so but depression and anger and all these different emotions that aren't you, and other people around you maybe say, man, that's not you. Why are you acting like that? Where's that coming from? Oftentimes, that's rooted in this pace of life, how fast we're running. It can be rooted in other things, and we deal with that a lot in restoration. But oftentimes, it's rooted in the pace of life. Look at Job 9:25. My days go by faster than a runner. Faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. And I've noticed that. The faster my pace is, the less joy I have. The faster my pace is, the less peace I have, the less compassion I have, the less just ability to show mercy and goodness and grace to other people, the less capacity for that I have, okay? So that's something that happens. Our emotions take a hit, and we're more vulnerable to be tempted and fall into sin. And I think another one that it seems kind of counterintuitive, but it's true, is you do more, but you get less done. You're doing a lot of stuff. You're active. You're busy. You're moving all the time, but you're not effective. You're not productive. You don't have a sharp edge to do what it is you're doing. It's like the old adage about, you know, instead of just keep pounding away on that log with the axe, you have to stop every now and again and sharpen the axe, and you'll actually get more done if you'll stop chopping and sharpen and then go back to chopping. It's that same mindset. That if I'm so busy all the time just doing and doing and doing, I probably won't be sharp in doing that. I probably won't be wise in doing that. I probably won't be as effective in doing all that stuff as I would be if I just did fewer things well. And so a phrase that's just been ringing through my mind a lot this last year is do fewer things exceedingly well. Do fewer things exceedingly well. What are the few things I can do? And hopefully do a good job at those. Because if I try to do everything, I probably won't do anything all that great. And I mean anything. That'll probably play out in my parenting. That'll probably play out in my ministry. That'll play out in just about every part of my life. I won't be as effective as I think I would be or could be just because I'm trying to do too much at one time. So it affects your productivity and your effectiveness. And I think it, you know, definitely affects your productivity and effectiveness for God. So part of that just kind of along with that, just kind of a side angle of this, I guess, is, you know, all activity isn't bad. And in fact, there's some activity that will actually pour life back into you. You know, there's some things that you do that actually give you life, that actually pour life back in. And you have to have a balance of what those things are. If everything you commit yourself to and everything you do every day just drains you, You'll be drained. Does that make sense? You'll be drained all the time. So you need to commit yourself to some things, to doing something consistently that pour life back into you. You need to commit yourself to doing some things that are absolutely a part of your purpose and what God put you on the planet to do. Because when you're doing some things like that, when you're doing things that have purpose, that activity actually can pour life back into your heart. It's like, you know, I worked really hard at that. Ministry, by the way, is hard work, and you do what God called you to do. It's not that it's easy and problem-free all the time. It's still hard work. It can still be exhausting. But at the heart level, at the emotional level, when you lay down at night, it's like, you know what? That was very rewarding. I saw God use that. I got to be a part of something bigger that God was doing, and that's refreshing. When you make a difference, it really is refreshing to your heart. So you have to have a balance of the activities in your life, of the things that you kind of have to do to make a living and provide for your family, and the things that you choose to do that can pour life back into you. And if you're blessed to get paid to do something that pours life into you, you have the best of both worlds. Still hard work, still can be exhausting at times, but you have the best of both worlds. And so we encourage everyone here, and you hear us say this all the time, we encourage all of you to get into the growth track. And step 3 and step 4 of the growth track are about discovering purpose. And if once you know what your purpose is, make a difference. And so if you haven't done the growth track, start next Sunday. Step 1 is next Sunday, 1 o'clock. Go out back. It's only an hour for each Sunday that you take it. It's 4 Sundays total. And we just encourage you to come and get engaged, figure out what your purpose is, and then begin to do it. Begin to make a difference. When you make a difference, that pours life. That pours life into your heart. So I want to encourage you to dive into that if you haven't already. So Proverbs 21:5 says, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. So don't get any further behind. Get ahead by planning to do the things that are honoring to God and that God put you on the planet for. Okay? The last one is simply this. You will struggle. You get too busy, too fast-paced in life. You're going to struggle to connect with God. And you'll say, I don't know what God's will is for me. I can't hear God. I don't feel like God is listening. I don't feel like God is engaged in my life. Well, God hasn't gone anywhere. You know, God's still doing his thing. It's just you're doing a lot of other things besides paying attention to God. Okay? And when I get real busy, I can't discern what God's doing. I can't discern what God's trying to lead me into. In fact, I'll read the Bible, and it's like, okay, I just need to read something because I know I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. God bless that. And instead of like, God, speak to me through your inspired word today. I need a word from you today, God, that I can submit my will, my rights, and all control to. God, I know you have something you want to say to me today. And I'm reading this passage of Scripture expecting, God, that you have something to speak into my heart. That takes time. And if I'm just rushing through reading something, that's not going to happen. Okay, I'm going to pray to God. Okay, God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I just rattle off some quick prayer. Amen. God is great. God is good. Thank you, God, for this food and this day. And God bless it all. Please. Amen. I'm gone. And you know what I'm saying? When I don't take the time just to connect with God in prayer, just to let God speak to me through his word, just to say, God, help me discern what you're trying to lead me into today. God, I submit this whole day to you. I submit my will, my rights, and all control to you today. For this whole day today, God, I'm going to just try to live this day by doing what Scripture says, where he says, pray without ceasing, which just means you don't walk around praying out loud all day long. It just means you spend your day trying to say, God, what are you up to today, and how do I follow you in that? In the conversations and the work that I'm doing and the stuff that you've called me to be a part of today, God, help me not to miss you this day. I just follow God's lead through the day. When life is so hectic and so busy, that doesn't, you know, following God's lead is not the motivation. It's not what's driving the train. It's just like, I have to be here, and I have to pick them up there, and I got to get them over there, and then I've got to be over here, and we've got to get this ready for that, and oh my goodness, I forgot they were even coming over, and we got to get ready for that, and what are we fixing? Share and go to Wendy's or whatever, you know, and that's how it goes, right? We can't follow God. Our hearts just die. Our spiritual lives just die. And it's not that God went anywhere, you know. God's still there. God's trying to, he wants to lead you. He wants to take you to something better. He wants to give you life and purpose. And he's wanting to do all that in you. But you're just moving too fast to hear it. And you know that impacts your relationship with God, because honestly, it impacts all your relationships, doesn't it? It impacts your relationship with your kids, with your marriage. I mean, all your relationships suffer. So it's just natural that your relationship with God is also going to suffer. That makes sense, doesn't it? So it definitely takes a hit. And so you struggle. You'll struggle to connect with God. That's why Psalm 46:10, if you're going to memorize one verse in the Bible, this might be a good one, especially if you're too busy. Take the time to memorize this one verse. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know. I want to lead you through this day. Be still and know that I've got you, that I'm with you and I'm for you and I'm on your side. Be still and know that I can go ahead of you and show you those traps and temptations so you don't fall into them today. Just be still and know that you're loved. Just be still and know that I have a plan and a purpose for you today, and you can walk in that today. You know, be still and know that I'm God. So you struggle to connect with God. So how do you get on the other side of that? How can you have a pace? How can you find a pace of life that you can live with? How can you have kind of this restful place at the soul level that defines your life? How can that define you instead of the busyness and the spirit of this age defining you that is so hectic and so out of whack sometimes? How can you pull away from that? What are some things that you can do to really change this race that you're in, to change the course that you're on. And a couple of things, a couple of ideas, a couple of insights. One is you have to stop the constant push for more. And more can mean more of all kinds of stuff. Stop the constant push for more. With our kids sometimes, honestly, we overschedule with our kids, and they commit to this and they commit to that, and they're gonna dance and they're gonna play ball and they're gonna do karate and they're gonna do that and this and that and this. And it's like, why do you want your kids to do so much more? What are you wanting them to become exactly? Workaholics who don't enjoy life? People who the pace of life is so fast they don't even know what life really is. They think it's just running from one thing to the other. Is that what you're trying to raise up in your children? You know, really? Is that what you want? You know, see, we don't think about that. It's just, well, I got that permission slip. I better sign it and get them engaged. They need that. They need to know how to do that, and that'll be good for them. That's good for their social development, and they'll be a better person if they have that skill set. And we don't even pray about it. We're just like, yeah, I'll just sign them up. You got to stop the constant push for more. What drives so much of the busyness in our schedule is we're so overextended financially that we have to work a lot. We have to do a lot more to earn a lot more to pay for all the more stuff that we've acquired over here. We have such a desire to acquire more and more and more and more that we have to fund that. We have to pay for that. And so we don't have any choice. When we feel like we don't have any choice, like I have all these bills, there's all this stuff I want, there's all the stuff that we have to pay for, and if we're going to live in that kind of house and have all that kind of stuff and do all those kind of things, then, man, we just got to work a lot more. And it's so destructive. And I would just encourage you to pull away from that. And again, that discerning from God, before you commit to anything, before you say yes to anything, first say, let me pray about that. Let me process that a little bit. Let me ask God, is this something you want our family to do? Before you sign your kids up for something, God, is this something you want them to be a part of? Is this something you want us to commit to? And really pray it through. Really think it through with God's wisdom. Is this something I need to engage in? Is this something I need to commit to? And that constant push for more of feeling this false pressure that I need more stuff and I got to have more of this and more of that and a bigger and better of this and a bigger and better of that, or I won't be happy. You got to peel back the layers of that and figure out where those voices are coming from, because God loves you just the way you are. And honestly, this is honest to goodness, the happiest people I know on the planet Earth are people who have nothing. I mean, when I go to Africa and Central America and South America and Mexico, and I'm with people who just have this uncontainable joy, yet they live in a dirt hut that's half the size of one of my shops with 12 people. I mean, I'm like, goodness, you know, no electricity, no running water. And they're just, I mean, they are authentically, genuinely happy people. Like, what's up with that? What is that? And they're not lazy people. They're hardworking people. But man, there's a joy that they have because they're not consumed by this materialistic drive that says you got to have more to be happy. I tell you, we bought into a lie. We bought into a lie that the more stuff I get, the more I do, the more I accomplish, the happier I'll be. And we don't figure it out until, like Solomon in Scripture, we get to the end of our lives and go read Ecclesiastes, great, great, great story about this whole deal. And we look back over our whole lives like, good night, I did all this stuff, and I was so busy, and I accomplished all this. And Solomon accomplished a lot. I mean, he was a... He made it happen. He did a lot. He was not some guy just kind of hanging out, you know, doing a little bit. He was a high achiever. But at the end of his life, he looked back and said, you know what? All that activity, all those temples, all that stuff I built, all those palaces I built, all those people who were so impressed with my wisdom, all the people I entertained, all the rulers who came to me for insight and wisdom, he looked back over the busyness of his life and how he missed God and what God had really put him on the planet for. And he said, my life was meaningless. It was like chasing after the wind. And I don't want that to define my life, you know? I want my life to have meaning. So you got to stop this constant push for more. From Ecclesiastes 4:6, that same great book, Solomon says, it is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. He figured it out too late. When he finally figured it out, he'd wasted most of his life, you know. He said, man, I was just busy all the time. I wish I'd have just done less and had peace. If I could get a do-over in life, I'd just do a lot less, and I'd just have peace in my life, okay? So to find a pace you can live with, you got to stop the constant push for more. So you have to figure out what that looks like for you and where you overextended and where you need to cut some things back and reprioritize some things. And number two, this being a day when we're all in here together, is make your Sabbath sacred. Make your Sabbath sacred. And I say your Sabbath because your Sabbath may be different based on, as far as the day that is your Sabbath day, may be different based on the type of work you do. I mean, some of you do shift work, and it's not like you're off every Saturday or every Sunday or whatever. For me, I work pretty much every Sunday. And so, so this is not a restful day for me. This is the most exhausting day of my week. When I leave here, when I go home on Sunday afternoons, I mean, I'm just burnt out. There's something about being on stage, I don't know if it's the adrenaline thing or just pouring into people all morning or whatever, but when I get home, about the time I finish our Wendy's, I get this bad headache, and I don't get headaches, but my head just starts to hurt, and it's like, you've got to go rest for a little bit, and so I just have to go lay down my head, it does like 20 minutes or so, but I have to go just rest a little bit, because I'm just wiped out. So Sundays are not a great rest day for me, and then sometimes we're back up here for restoration or OSL or something, or we have something else going on. And so it's just not a rest day for me. So I have to have another day of the week when I do that. And for me, that's Monday. Monday is like my recovery day. Monday is my Sabbath day. I try to do things on Sunday Monday that pour life back into me. In fact, I tell Sharon, we don't talk about Crossroads or ministry stuff after 2 o'clock on Sunday unless it's like an emergency situation. And so if she starts to mention something, I'm like, what are you talking about? Okay. But I don't hear you, blah, 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 blah. I don't do that. I'm never sarcastic to Sharon. But I'll just say, can I wait till Tuesday? Because we're going to be doing ministry stuff like for the rest of the week until like next Sunday afternoon. Can we just not talk about it? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. And it's like, yeah, let's just set that aside. So Monday has to be like my Sabbath day. So I do stuff that pours life into me. You know, I go kill stuff, and if hunting season's on, and I go shoot my guns, and I like working outside and doing that. That pours life back into me if when I get outside and just work with my hands, you know. So I do stuff on my Sabbath day that pours life back into me. I spend time listening to worship music and just listening to what God's trying to speak into me, kind of setting the stage for the rest of the week, and can have a little bit longer quiet time on Monday than I can the rest of the week. So make your Sabbath day sacred. And what I mean by sacred is you protect it, you know. It's like, hey, that's sacred. I protect that. I have to have my time to let my heart get full again. I got to do that. And if Sunday works for you, do that. Don't plan to do a lot of work on Sunday afternoon. Plan on coming here and enjoying your time with God here and plan on being together as a family and just loving on each other and just hanging out. And for some of you, the thought of just not doing anything for an afternoon is like, I don't even know what I would do if I didn't do anything. That's the point. You just rest. Just enjoy. You know, you don't have to wait till you get that vacation once a year to do that. You need that every week. You need that. Every week you need that time of refreshing and replenishing. So make your Sabbath day sacred. Stop that constant push for more and make your Sabbath day sacred. Exodus 20, verse 9 and 10, you know, after the whole idea of kind of, you know, God created in 6 days and he rested on the seventh, and Moses is kind of reflecting on that and with the Ten Commandments, and it said, and as God's telling him how we're supposed to live and relate to one another and relate to him, he says in Exodus 20 verses 9 and 10, you have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to me. So it's a day of rest that's dedicated to God. Mark 2:27 says the Sabbath was made for the needs of human beings and not the other way around. In other words, we're not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a gift from God to us. So this idea that you need to take some time and just rest, you need to take some time and just get your heart restored and just to pull back from doing so much activity and just let God just bring some fresh air to your life, that's a gift from God. It's made for you. The Sabbath is made for you, not the other way around. So make your Sabbath sacred. And then the last is simply let God take the lead. Let God take the lead. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, very familiar scripture, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You know what we want? You know why we push so hard and why we have this constant drive for more and why our schedules are so crazy and hectic? We're not following the shepherd. We are in want. We want all this stuff. We want all this activity. We want all these things other than God. And he's not leading us because we're not following his lead. The Lord is my shepherd. If he's my shepherd, then I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And that may not mean a lot to you. It means a lot to a sheep. But it's just saying, God leads you to a place where you get nourished. God leads you to a place where you get refreshed again, where you get filled back up again. He leads you to these quiet waters. He leads you to these green pastures. He restores my soul. I got to just follow God's lead. He'll do that stuff. And so, again, it's not rocket science here. It's just before you commit to stuff, pray about it. Before you say, yes, we're going to do that, or we're going to buy that, or I'm going to take that position, or before you say yes to any of that, back away from it and pray about it. Is this what God wants? God, is this what you want for us? Is this what you want for me? I want you to lead me, because I know you will lead me to those places where my soul ultimately will be restored. And then my favorite passage about any of that is the Message version of Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Where Jesus says this, he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? In other words, you're doing a lot of religious stuff, but you're not really connecting with God or following God or relating with God. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's what Jesus invites us into. Not a lot more stuff to do. We all have plenty to do. But a life where he's leading us, and as he's leading us, he's leading to those places that bring life to us. It's hard work sometimes. It's got its own sets of challenges, but it's a life that's rewarding. It's a life that's defined by fresh air. So the question for you is, how do you get to that place where you can just breathe? How do you get to that place where you can just soak some of this stuff in and let life be kind of a fresh air experience for you? The more of that you receive in how you live your life, the more that you receive from God, the more you're going to be able to bring that to other people and bring that to your family and bring that to your kids and bring that to your workplaces. That perspective of peace and joy and God's got me in the middle of this storm. So as you're processing that a little bit, watch this, and then we're going to wrap up right after that.
Come and rest at my feet. chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs, the peace of God that overcomes, just breathe. Let your weary spirit rest, lay down what's good and find what's best, just just breathe.
Hey, would you close your eyes? Let me just pray for us this morning. Just all your eyes closed, bowing down for prayer. Would you just ask yourself, ask God, you know, God, do I need to do some stuff with this? Are there some places where I need to reprioritize? There's some lies I believed about I got to have more, I got to do more, that's driving me to this crazy pace that I know I can't sustain it. I see it in my relationships with other people. God, I see it in my relationship with you. I see it in my own emotions. God, I want to make some changes today. I want this first day of the rest of my life to be a day where I commit to just really living. I choose life. If any of that hits home with you today, just slip your hand up. Say, yeah, just pray for me. I'm in. I need to do less and just let God do more in me. And that's absolutely where I live right now. And I wonder, too, you know, we didn't really talk about this today, but if there are any of you here today who would want to make things right with God today, that you know in your own heart that things aren't good between you and the Lord, that the relationship with Him is not what it should be. If you want to make things right with Him, if you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ today, I want to lead you just in a simple prayer of confession and faith. And I'm not going to call you forward or anything like that. You're just going to pray that right where you are, just quietly, silently between you and the Lord. But I just want to lead you in that prayer. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, yeah, I want to pray that prayer to be made right with God today. Amen. Let's pray together. So God, I say thank you, Lord, for loving us so much to say, hey, you need to slow down a little bit. You need to come away with me a little bit. I thank you for loving us enough, God, that you want to lead us, and you'll do that if we'll let you. You don't force it on us, but you offer us life if we'll choose it. So, God, I pray that you give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom, the discernment, God, to choose life. And God, give us that reminder when we have an opportunity to commit to something. Just remind us by your Spirit to say, hey, pray about that first. Don't commit to that just yet. Pray about that and process that a little bit before you say yes. That's not a bad thing they're asking you to do. It might be a great thing they're asking you to do, but ask me about it first. Let's pray about this. Let's process together. And God, I pray that you just put that in our hearts, that you want to lead us. You want to restore our souls. You want us to just breathe sometimes. And God, I pray for those here today who the pace of life is incredibly fast and they feel a little hopeless because honestly, they're in one of those seasons where there's not a lot they can do about it right now. In fact, they've been sitting here this morning thinking like, what could I do differently? I don't know. I don't have any options right now. And God, I've had seasons like that too, and we all do. We all have those seasons. And I pray, God, that you would be their strength. Pray, God, you'd be their provision and their peace. I pray, God, that you give them just quiet moments of restoration, even if it's just 30 seconds here or 2 minutes there, going down the road just with, you know, everything turned off and just kind of taking some deep breaths. Say, God, just give me what I need for this moment. Give me what I need for this next couple of hours, Lord. I thank you for those times in my life when you've done that and taking me through that season and got me to a better place, but you were my sustaining strength and grace in those times. I pray that you'd be that for those today who that's where they are. And we love you, God. Thank you for your deep love for us. Thank you, God, that you are like a breath of fresh air for us. So life-giving, so good. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.